Read this to you. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After these things, Jesus went to the port of the Sea of Galilee at Tiberias, and a great many people followed him because they saw the miracles which he performed on sick people. So Jesus went up to the mountain and sat there with his disciples. And the feast of the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a huge crowd coming to him. And he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread that all these may eat?" And he said this merely to test him, for he knew what he would do. And Philip said to him, 200 pennies worth of bread would not be sufficient for them, even if each one should take only a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "Well, there is a boy here who has with him 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these for all of these people?" And Jesus said to them, "Make all the men sit down." And there was much grass in that place, so all the males sit down, 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the bread and blessed it and distributed it to those who were sitting down, likewise the fish also, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the broken pieces which are left over, so that nothing is lost." And they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets of broken pieces, which were left over by those who ate from the 5 barley loaves. Then the men who saw the miracle which Jesus performed said, "Truly, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." But Jesus knew that they were ready to come and seize him and make him the king. So he departed to the mountain alone. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a boat and were going to the port of Capernaum. And now it was dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And the sea was becoming rough because of the strong wind that was blowing. And they rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea. As he drew near towards their boat, they became afraid. But Jesus said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." So they wanted to receive him into the boat, but soon the boat reached the land to which they were going. And so this is a little bit different version of the instance when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water. And I prefer Mark's version, but even John brings out a few other details. Now, the detractors of the Bible would want to say, well, you know, we see different things talked about here, and so it's obvious that there are discrepancies in the Bible. And there are no discrepancies. There's simply different eyewitnesses are cognizant of different things. And so if you have a bank robbery and you ask 2 witnesses what they saw, you're going to get 2 different answers because they saw things from their own point of view. And so this is the same thing that Mark writes about. And I just want you to see a couple of things, because there are times when us right here, I'm not worried about the folks out there or anywhere else, when we, as this group of believers, we deal with uncertainties. Okay, we've got our Social Security and our Medicare, and anytime we hear any news about that, we all get, you know, don't mess with our Social Security, and you know, we're very cognizant of our limited resources. All right, just as human beings. 20 years ago, if something happened with my Social Security, no big deal. I'll go out and get another job and, you know, I'll make things happen. But there comes a time in our lives where our abilities to go out and do things like that kind of come to an end. And so it's during these times that we find ourselves very vulnerable to world events, right? And so it's easy for us to be concerned. We might get a rumor, they might increase the rent. Oh, what are we going to do? We don't have any control over the rent increases. And we all start to worry because of our lack of control. And so I wanted to relate to us today from this passage of Scripture what Jesus did. And earlier in the passage of Scripture, we read about where these people were following Jesus because they had seen how he had done these miracles, providing for the physical needs of people. He was feeding people left and right. And so Jesus had done a few of these miracles where he had fed several people, thousands of people, and he's trying to get his disciples to walk in faith. These are the 12 guys. They're going to be running the church when Jesus is gone. And, you know, he's got one big objective. Jesus has to teach these guys to walk in faith. And something that he wasn't very successful at doing during his 3.5 years on earth. They began to walk in faith after the resurrection, but it seems that they really had a rough time in walking in faith. And here's one of these things. It says that Jesus was testing Philip. And he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread that all these may eat?" Verse 6 says, and he said this merely to test him, because he already knew what he would do. Okay? And many times Jesus comes along and he tests us. Oh, we hear a rumor. We hear something. And he's testing us. Where are we going to turn? Are we immediately going to respond in fear and worry, which then keeps us from walking in faith? Remember, fear is the antithesis of faith. You cannot have faith when you're walking in fear. All right? And the devil knows how to push those buttons, doesn't he? He sure does. He's been studying us our whole lifetime. He knows exactly which buttons to push to get us to start to worry. All right? And so Jesus is testing Philip here. And, oh, Philip, misses it once again. Oh, 200 pennies worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient to give each one of these a pinch of bread to eat. All right? Pennies a day's salary. So, you know, 200 days salary. Still not enough to feed 5,000 men. And it's interesting that here, the apostle St. John is calling out men. There's women and children also, but there's 5,000 men. All right, he's being very specific in that. And so Philip immediately responds in the flesh. We don't have enough money. Even if we had 200 days' wages, we couldn't feed this many people. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "Well, there's this boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves." Now, a barley loaf is the least desirable of the bread. Wheat gives you the most beautiful dough, the most beautiful texture and all that. But if you're poor and you can't afford a loaf of bread made out of wheat, then you have barley. Okay, it's a coarser grain. And this little boy, who got his lunch snatched away from him, you know, had 5, and we're not talking about a loaf of Wonder Bread. Okay? We're not talking about what we call a loaf. A loaf is about the size of a hoagie roll. Okay? And he said he's got 5 of these. And he said, and 2 fish. Now, keep in mind, the fish that they're talking about, we would call them bluegill or brim, and they're about that big. Not that big around, about that thick and about like that, all right? They're not really big fish. Most of them are bony, and you just have to, you know, eat the meat and spit out the bones. And that's all we have, but then his response is, "Well, what are these for all of them?" Okay, so even Andrew is saying, "Oh, we got more than that. We got something." But Jesus, this is insignificant. We are stuck. There's no way we can feed them. All right? But what does Jesus do? He says to them, "Make all the men sit down." And he made sure that it was an area where there was a lot of grass. There are places in Israel where you can sit down and it's stony, and it's rocky, and it's uncomfortable, and all that. But here, there was plenty of grass. And so everybody sat down, comfortable, and 5,000 in number, and Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to the guys, and he said, "Go ahead and give them as much as they want." Okay? So, we got these five loaves. Let's go over to this guy over here. You hungry? You bet. Okay, here, have some bread. Now, do you think Chuck is going to take just a little pinch of bread? No, Chuck's hungry. Chuck is going to say, give me half that loaf of bread. Okay, we got five loaves. So, humanly speaking, we're able to feed 10 guys. We only have 4,980 more to go. About 990 more to go, okay? Excuse my math. All right, but every time they would go to the next person, there was enough to take some more. That was just a half roll. She took a half roll. I still have a half roll. Come over here. Uh-oh, it's a whole roll again. Here, you take half a roll. Okay, half a roll. Now it's a whole roll again. And no matter how much they handed out, there was enough to keep on handing out. And they did that with the fish also. Two bony little fish. Okay, and I don't know how they divided up the fish. You can just rip off a piece of a loaf, but I don't know what you did for the fish. But it says that over here that, and when they were filled, okay, this just wasn't a snack. They were filled. When Jesus meets your needs, he doesn't leave you wanting. Amen? Our Savior gives you all that you need. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his abundant glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Abundant riches in Christ Jesus, excuse me. And so he fills us to the brim. So they're all filled. Then he says to his disciples, because they're all sitting around scratching their heads, how did this happen? And he says, well, I tell you what, we don't want anything to go to waste, do we, guys? Because we're good Jews. Jews are known not to let things go to waste. And so let's go ahead and take up a basket and collect up all the little... What do you mean collect up what's remaining? We only had five loaves to start with. She says, just humor me. Collect it all up. So they went ahead and they took out everything that was left over so that nothing was lost. And they gathered them up and 12 filled 12 baskets with broken pieces, which were left over by those who ate from the five barley loaves. They're not even counting the fish that's left over. We're just talking 12 baskets. And I don't care if they were big, deep baskets, or they were just baskets this big. The bottom line is they fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with five loaves of bread, filled them to their fill, fed them to their fill, and then took up leftovers. See, when Jesus gives into your life, he doesn't give you just a little bit. He gives you until you are satisfied. Amen? Isn't that the salvation that he's given us? It's satisfying to know that I belong to God. It's satisfying to know that my sins are forgiven, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? That there are those cheering for me at the finish line. When I finish this race, I want to be with my loved ones. I want to be with Jesus in glory. When he fills you to the full. And then when the people saw it, verse 14, when the men saw the miracle that Jesus performed, they said, "This is the prophet." And they were getting ready to grab him and make him king. All right? Why? Because their stomachs were filled. Jesus had this problem that everybody wanted to be near him because you never went away hungry. All right? Which, that's a good thing. You know, you don't go away hungry when you meet Jesus. Amen? But they said, man, if we make Jesus king, we'll never have to work a day in our lives. All right, because he'll just feed everybody with leftovers. We got it made. So Jesus recognized that their desire was to make him king, and Jesus didn't come to be king. He came to be the Messiah. And so he spirited himself away. Did so well that the disciples couldn't find him. They're hanging around by the seashore, and they're saying, well, we got to get over to Capernaum, which is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee. It's called either one. And they're going back and forth across. There's you know, the lake is like this big, and they're just going from here to here. They're on the tip of it. And so they jump in the boat and take off, leave Jesus. All right. In Mark 4, Jesus sends them on before him. All right. But they're tired of waiting for Jesus, and they leave. And they've gone about how many furlongs? They were about 20 or 30 furlongs. A furlong, if I remember right, is 90 feet. I'm not sure. At any rate, they weren't out in the middle of the sea anyhow, but they were, it says that the sea became rough because of a strong wind. So they're having a rough time getting across. And then they see Jesus coming. Jesus walking on the water. And they were afraid, and Jesus had to speak to them. And this incident doesn't talk about Peter or anything like that. But the whole thing about this is that people ask, well, why was Jesus walking on the water? I mean, this is a great miracle. But what the Word tells us in both of the reports about this incident is that Jesus merely missed his ride. And he had to get across to be with the disciples. And so, what I learned from this is that God will do the miraculous in our lives whenever it's necessary. A miracle is always just around the corner. And in India, there's a standing joke when I baptize people. Everybody wants to see, because when I go down to the river, we baptize in the river for the most part. When I go down, I've told all my pastors, one of these days when I go down to baptize in the river, God's going to let me walk on water. Okay? And so whenever I go down to get into the river, a big crowd gathers because they want to see if this is the day that Pastor Dale walks on water. And my foot will go down to the bottom. Everybody goes, but they were expecting. And I'm expecting too. All right? God isn't going to do it just because Pastor Dale's got this, you know, obsession with walking on water. But I know that God does what needs to be done in the moment. God will always provide for the moment. At this moment, the disciples had already left without Jesus, and Jesus had to get to the other side, and the most direct route was across the lake. So he was walking across the lake. The thing is that they responded with fear, as they did, it's reported in the other report of the incident, and everybody's afraid. They think that Jesus is a ghost, and so once you start screaming and crying cuddling up and curling up in a fetal position in the bottom of your boat because you think a ghost is about to get you, it's obvious that any great works of faith are, you know, about to go out the window here. Jesus isn't going to be able to do any mighty miracles there. But, it was something that touched the lives of the disciples, that when you're serving the Lord, you're not limited by the laws of physics. Philip learned that after the resurrection. Philip was supernaturally transported to the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip just, here I am on the road. And he's praying, and the Ethiopian eunuch, who is one of the leaders of the palace of Eunice, Queen Eunice or Candace, whatever, and the Holy Spirit says, go and talk to him, catch up to the carriage. And he gets to tell this man of great stature in his country about Jesus Christ, about how the Old Testament prophesied about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then as soon as he was finished, after he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says Philip disappeared. Gone. And he appears someplace else. And you see, when God finds somebody that he can use, my advice is, hang on. All right? Because life can be pretty exciting. When God finds somebody that is saying, God, I don't care what laws of nature you want to break. I don't care where you want to send me. I have no concern about what my personal abilities are. If you want to use me, a weakened old vessel, for your glory, here I am. And God can compromise the laws of physics to accomplish His will in your life. All right? Jesus walked on water. That's against the laws of physics, people. All right? You can't do that. Philip, I mean, maybe the Starship Enterprise was hovering overhead, and they were able to, what is that called? Beam me up, Scotty, or whatever that is, and take them from this location, put them over there, but I don't think the Starship Enterprise was there at the time. It was God doing something supernatural. Folks, today, in closing, I told you we were going to get out early. Why don't you expect the supernatural in your life? We serve the God of the supernatural. We serve a God who, in spite of all our weaknesses, in spite of all of our failings, can still take a surrendered soul and use it for the glory of God. David was a mess. David was worse than, hopefully, anybody in this room. An adulterer and a murderer. But God used him to establish the kingdom of Israel. All right? It doesn't matter your past. All that matters to God is your right here and now. Amen?